This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We're still in the chapter that deals with the manners of answering the call of nature and hadith number 83 it will be read by Brother Muhammad.
Narrated by Abu Qatada. May Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No one should touch his penis with his right hand when urinating, nor clean himself from defecation or urine using his right hand, nor breathe in the utensil he is drinking from.
Of course, this hadith has lots of manners that we should apply after learning them. For example, what is the ruling on touching the private parts using the right hand? Of course, we mentioned in previous programs that the right hand is only to be used for honorable things, such as eating, drinking, calming, perfuming, beginning to wear your clothing, taking things from others, handing things to others. You should always use the right hand in these things. As for the left hand, it's used for the unhonorable things, things that are filthy or dirty, when removing dirt, when removing filth, when cleaning yourself from impurities, from najasat, you should use your left hand. So in this hadith of Abi Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet says, do not touch your private parts with your right hand. So this is clear. Now, touching the private parts with the right hand, this depends on when you are answering the call of nature. But if you're not answering the call of nature, it is a normal thing to do. Nevertheless, Uthman, the third caliph in Islam, and the son-in-law, twice of the Prophet ﷺ. Uthman married two of the Prophet's daughters. The first one died, he married the second one. May Allah be pleased with him. Uthman says that after I made bay'ah, after I gave the agreement and the oath to the Prophet ﷺ to follow him as a prophet and messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, I have never ever touched my private parts with my right hand. Why? Because he shook hands with the messenger with his right hand. So this right hand only is only used for honorable things. Having said that, one does not think that we should tie our right hands behind our backs whenever we go to answer the call of nature. You may use your right hand, but you have to use your right hand not directly by holding it, by holding your private parts, and not directly by cleaning and wiping the private parts. You can use your right hand when you are washing yourself by pouring the water with the right hand, but cleaning yourself with the left hand. Also, another manner that was mentioned here in this hadith, Abu Qatada says that the Prophet ﷺ said that one should not breathe in the utensils he's drinking from. And why is that? The Prophet tells us something we follow without asking why, but it is logical. So the criteria here is that we do not ask why. If the order comes from Allah or it comes from the Prophet ﷺ, you do not have the right to ask why. You just follow. Because if you ask, then you are not a servant anymore. You become a master. Only masters ask each other why. Servants comply and follow, and that is it. Nevertheless, the wisdom and the justification is logical. Now, the Prophet tells us, do not breathe while drinking from utensils, from a cup, from a glass. And why is that? Because by breathing, something may fall down in what you're drinking. By breathing, people may drink after you, would feel disgust by what you've done. So one, and you would most likely wouldn't drink after someone that did this before you. You don't like people to breathe in the same glass that you're going to drink from. So the Prophet tells us, do not do this. And why should someone else use my glass to drink? Well, this used to happen at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In one instant, Abu Huraira tells us, may Allah be pleased with him, that 80 plus companions drank from a small glass of milk. And this is one of the miracles of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. 83 or plus person, grown-up adults, drank from this small glass or cup or bowl of milk. And they all had enough of it. So people do drink after each other. And this is normal. You may drink of a cup of water and then someone finishes it off after you. Therefore, one of the behaviors and manners of Islam that you do not breathe in the glass that you're drinking from. And again, it tells us how Islam tells us to care for others' feelings. You don't live alone on this planet. So you have to care for the feelings of others. You have to care for them and for their feelings. Try not to pollute the environment. Try not to answer the call of nature under the shades or on their ways or even in stagnant water. It's forbidden for a Muslim to urinate or to answer the call of nature in stagnant water, water that is not moving. Why? Because this pool or this lake is going to be used by people either for drinking or for washing, and by you answering the call of nature, by urinating in it or doing something similar to that, you are making it filthy and unusable. The following hadith is to be read by
me. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Narrated by Salman radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to face the Qibla when defecating or urinating, or to clean ourselves using the right hand, or to clean ourselves with less than 3 stones, or to cleanse ourselves with dung or a bone.
This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim, so it's regarded as the highest of all. It's authentic hadith. Now, Salman, who's Salman? Does anybody know the name of the father of Salman? Well, we don't know the name of the father. We know that his title is Al-Farisi, the Persian. Salman, the Persian from Persia. And Salman, we don't know his father's name. We don't know his brother's name. We don't know anything about him except that he was the son of a big priest in Persia where they used to worship fire. And his father wanted him to be a priest too. And subhanAllah, Salman had it in him that this was not natural. Fire is not a creator to be worshipped. So he set out on a journey for finding truth. And he went to many countries and he stayed with a group of Christians here and there, priests serving them. Some were honest, some were dishonest, until they told him to go to Medina because it is time for a messenger, the final messenger, seal of the prophets, to come out, and he will come out in this village. in Medina. And they gave him the description as found in the Torah and the Gospel, the Bible, the New Testament. So he went there. He was kidnapped and sold as a slave to a group of Jews. And he worked there until the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina. And then he came to the Prophet and he gave the Prophet a couple of tests just to know if he's the one, if he's the chosen one, if he's the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And once it was proven to him that he was indeed the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he embraced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he declared Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from there on took him as one of his closest companions. And whenever any of the companions would say, "What's your family tree?" he would say that my father is Islam. I have no father but him. He never said that I am the son of so-and-so or the king so-and-so. He is the son of Islam. Salman al-Farisi was a great companion of the Prophet ﷺ. This hadith originally is found in Sahih Muslim. And it has a story. It's a nice story, but it's a story that we should learn from. The hadith says that a group of Jews came to Salman and they were complaining and they said, "Salman, your messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught you every single thing, even how to defecate. Give me a break. Is this logical? Is this possible? The Prophet, your messenger, teaching you every single thing, even how to defecate?" Because they're trying to mock of our religion. If you look in other religions, you would find general things, not details. That is why you have interpretations of men. And that is why you have laws, regulations that can change from one time to the other. Islam is not like this. Islam has been here for the past 15 centuries, and it's here to stay. As we believe, as Muslims, we believe that this religion of Allah will prevail and will dominate the whole earth. And if you look at it, you would find the powers and strength of it, because it is suitable for every time, generation, and for every location. People in the U.S. cannot say, "Well, this does not apply to us. We can't do this." People in East Asia cannot say that, "Well, this is difficult." Islam is practical for all humankind. So when they ask Salman, "Your Prophet has taught you everything, even defecation?" he said, "Yes, he did. He taught us, and he said the hadith that you've just heard from Nur. He said he told us not to do so and so and so and so." He listed the manners that one should follow through the process of answering the call of nature. And the catch here is that our religion is perfect. And no one could come and say that, "Well, Allah has forgotten this. He should have did this." My cameraman says that we have to break now. So, inshallah, stay tuned and we will be right back.
Let's talk. So this is something that you have to point out to them in the Bible.
It's something which is, I think, very badly needed by the youth, which is staying firm on the truth.
This is just one of the greatest examples for me of how to control your anger.
Within the framework of being the cleanest religion, the cleanest jurisprudence, and in the meantime, the kindest religion to animals.
Watch Let's Talk with Khalil Amanat as he interviews guests and discusses a variety of topics, everything from youth issues to religious issues. Join us here on Hoda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Brother Noor, can you please read the hadith again?
Okay. Narrated by Salman, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to face the Qibla when defecating or urinating, or to clean ourselves using the right hand, or to clean ourselves with less than 3 stones, or to clean ourselves with dung or a bone.
Okay, so let's go on trying to study the manners of answering the call of nature in this hadith. The first instruction is that the Prophet forbade us to face the Qibla when defecating or urinating. And this is similar to the following hadith of Abi Ayyub. And who is to read this hadith, Abu Ayyub's hadith? Please, go ahead, Brother Zaki.
Narrated by Abu Ayyub, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Neither face nor turn your back to the Qibla while defecating or urinating, but turn towards the east or the west."
Okay, so I think it's more appropriate to go on to Hadith Abu Ayyub, as it's the first part of Hadith Salman, which is facing the Qibla. Now, in the Hadith that Brother Zaki has just read, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, neither face nor turn your back to the Qibla while urinating or defecating. So, this is Abu Ayyub's version of not doing this. And there are approximately seven different opinions for scholars regarding this issue. The first, of course, opinion of all is it's forbidden completely to face or to give your back to the Qibla when urinating or defecating, whether you are in the open or whether you are concealed within indoors in a bathroom or in a toilet. It's completely forbidden. And then they go on by saying, well, it's okay in buildings, but it's not okay in the open. And then another opinion say, it's okay when you are defecating, but it's not okay when you're urinating. And the other one says, it's okay to give your back to it, but it's not okay to face it. And so on, until you reach a weird opinion that says that you may not even face or give your back to the sun or the moon when you are urinating or defecating. And then, what should I do then? I'm surrounded. I can't go east, west, nor south, or whatever. I'm surrounded from all directions. Well, this is completely unacceptable and unauthentic. The last one. The sun and the moon has nothing to do with your urinating and defecating, while Qibla does. And Qibla, as you know, is the direction Muslims face when they're praying. So it's the big black building in Mecca, which is called Al-Kaaba. And all Muslims, all over the world, the whole 1.5 billion of them, and still counting, face every single day, 5 times a day, when they are praying. And this, by far, this is the greatest sign of unity. They face the same direction. They say the same words, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, or greater. And they recite the same verses of the Quran. They do the same movement as a sign of their obedience and worship of Allah the Almighty. So the Qibla has a special place in our hearts. It's a place that we face when we are praying. That is why Salman says that the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet forbade us to face the Qibla. Now, he did not say to give our back to the Qibla. Abu Ayyub said that we may not face nor give our backs to the Qibla, as in this hadith. Now, so what's the authentic opinion of all? Is it okay or isn't it okay? As I said, that there are different opinions of scholars. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on them all, say that it is not permissible to face or to give your back to the Qibla while urinating or defecating, whether you are indoors or outdoors. It's completely forbidden. And the hadith that backs this up is Abu Ayyub's hadith, the one that Brother Zaki has just read. Because the longer version says that after Abu Ayyub said this, he said, and when we went to Sham region, Sham is a name that we call the countries of Palestine, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. The whole area is called Sham, Asham. So Abu Ayyub says that when we went to Asham, we found that the toilets are in the direction of Al-Kaaba or Al-Qibla. So we used to take sides. So if we're facing the Qibla like this, he says we used to divert and ask Allah for forgiveness. Yani, if it were okay to face the Qibla indoors, he wouldn't have diverted. He wouldn't have taken sides. But though they were indoors, facing a wall and a building and so on, yet he still considered that facing it is forbidden, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is the most authentic verdict of all. Nowadays, it's almost impossible to do this with modern toilets, because if it's built on the direction of the Qibla, there isn't any possible way of diverting, especially because of the nature of how it's built. But if it's a must and you don't have any other choice or solution, then you may answer the call of nature in that direction and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. If you're building a house, it's completely forbidden for you to build it, to make your toilets and bathrooms in the direction of Al-Qibla. I think I may ask you a question, Fadi. Now, what do you understand by saying turn towards the east or west? Is this political? Does the Prophet say that whenever you want to defecate, face the east and west? Because politically speaking, of course not. At the time of the Prophet, they didn't have the eastern powers and the western superpowers.
I think it means just to deviate from, like, being facing the Qibla, just a different side.
Okay, so what happens if you are in, let's say, East Asia? If I'm going to follow this hadith, I'm going to face east or west, then I'm going to face Mecca. I'm going to face the Qibla. So how can I apply this?
No, like, if you're always facing north towards the Qibla, then just go east or west of it, not...
Okay, then Medina, people of Medina, where is their Qibla? You have to study geography to know this. But you have to study...
South.
It's just to the south. Mecca is to the south of Medina. So if you are facing south, then you are facing the Qibla. If you're facing north, you're giving your back to the Qibla. So the Prophet says, turn your face east or west. Do not face or give your back to the Qibla. But in case that you are already in the east of the Qibla, or the west of the Qibla, then you should turn your face south or north. So don't take it literally that you should do this manner. No, you should try to understand what the hadith says and implies. Going back to Salman al-Farisi's hadith, the Prophet forbid us from facing or giving our back to the Qibla. And he forbid us from using the right hand to clean ourselves after answering the call of nature. And we've already gone through this. And he also forbid us from using less than 3 stones. And this is understandable if you're not going to use water. So the minimum acceptable is using 3 wipes, whether it's 3 stones or 1 stone that has different sizes that allows you to wipe 3 times without getting yourself or hand dirty. But if you are using water, then one wife, two wives, three wives, regardless, it would do the job because you're following that with water, and this is acceptable. And the last and final thing that the Prophet ﷺ forbid us from, cleaning ourselves with dung. So you may not use dung, as the droppings of animals are, as we mentioned in a previous hadith, this is the food for the animals of jinn. And the bones are the food for our brethren from the jinn. The bones, Allah Azza wa Jal has gave the jinn these bones to be full of meat for them. And this is something that we do not see. And we may not be able to imagine, but as Muslims, we believe it. And not everything that we do not see, we do not believe. There are so many things that we do not see yet, we believe in them, such as souls. Every and each one of us has a soul, but do we see it? No. If a person dies, his soul comes out. Do we see what came out? No, we do not. But yet we believe in it. Everyone claims to have brains. Do we see our brains? No, unless somebody rips our heads off and then, whoops, something's missing. Well, it's not necessarily to see to believe. We believe that it exists, and then and this is how we should comply with it. These are some of the manners that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, and the companions have followed it to the letter. And we ourselves should also follow it to the letter, because this is a sign of our acceptance to Islam and of our obedience to Allah the Almighty. And again, remember, the Jews did not like us following every single step of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. Yet we do this because by doing it, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will make us accompany the Prophet ﷺ in paradise. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. And until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.